Welcome to Higher Ground Ministries, where we believe God's Word still speaks today. Our mission is to teach the truth of God's Word from generation to generation, building up believers and reaching hearts with the hope of Christ. Each week, we share messages from our church services, praying they strengthen your faith and encourage your heart. Join us in person or online Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit hgministries.org.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. Genesis chapter 2. If you cannot find that, we are sending you upstairs to the nursery. And we're going to have some of these little guys who are still sucking on the bubba show you where Genesis is in the Bible. It's the very first book. Chapter 2, it's at the very beginning. So you should not get lost looking for it. Amen. Genesis chapter 2. We're going to go over to verse 15, Genesis 2, 15. And it says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden." I like that. We got a New Testament verse that's kind of similar to this. That God has placed you into the body.
Yes.
Amen. Now, we believe here in this church, and many, many churches, many pastors believe this, that you just don't get to pick the church you want to go to.
Right.
That Jesus Christ himself has hand-selected the church that you're supposed to be part of. Because the future of your DNA is attached to that man or that woman of God.
That's right.
And God knows where you're supposed to be. God's not confused. God knows where he needs you to get everything that you need and to get the anointing that's supposed to be on you to be able to walk out the things in your life. Amen. So we're kind of paralleling that right now. So in this case, God takes Adam and places him into the garden. He didn't place him in the desert. He didn't place him in the sea. He placed him in the garden for a purpose. And the purpose is to dress and to keep it, the garden. That's King James. The Amplified says to tend, to guard, and to keep. So God places the man, places Adam in the garden, in the place that he wants him, for a purpose, with a purpose. And then verse 16 says, "And the Lord commanded the man," not a suggestion, a commandment, "saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Wow. Here, boy, I got a job for you. This is what you're going to do, but if you screw up, you're dead. I mean, we could, if we want to crudely read it, that's kind of what it says. But what God was saying is, listen, listen, son, I've given you everything. This is all yours. But this tree over here, I'm not violating the scriptures. Listen to what I'm about to say. But this over here, this tree, though it's in the garden, there's death in this tree. Don't touch this tree. Don't eat of this tree. There's death in this tree. Well, how can you say that, Pastor? God just said it. The day you eat of this, you shall surely die. There's death in that tree. Now, hold your spot there, and I want you to go to Matthew 24. We're going back to Genesis in just a quick moment. Matthew 24. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Matthew 24. We're about to have some fun here this morning. I flat guarantee it. We're going to tick off some devils. We're going to tick off some carnal Christians. Not really my intent. It just happens. I seem to have an anointing for it, so praise God. I don't set out to do it. It just happens. Matthew 24, verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them. Well, what was he answering? They had just asked him a question. I know you know the verses. I want to highlight a couple of things here for a moment. They had just asked Jesus, "When are you coming back? What are the signs that we can look for? We know you're not going to tell us you're coming back at this date, on this time, so we need to have our calendars ready. So what's it going to look like when you come back?" was the basic question. And his answer was, the very first thing he says, take heed. Take heed. Now, the men that were here yesterday, we dealt with that phrase, take heed. It's one of the more common phrases we see, especially through the scriptures, but it carries this meaning of, this is your responsibility. Get a grip on yourself. Right. It's your responsibility to deal with yourself, to pay attention to what's going on around you, because take heed that no man deceive you. Deception is one of the biggest issues of the day.
Right.
But it's not a new issue. In fact, it's the same issue that's been around since the very beginning.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to deal with just for a quick couple moments this morning, is take heed that you're not deceived. But really, that's kind of one meaning or one phrase that I want to use, but I want to deal with the title of the message more so, though it's going to deal with take heed. God said, tend and keep. This is the title of this message for those that are taking notes. God said, it's a commandment to tend. You know, King James says dress. Amplified says tend. It means to cultivate.
Yeah.
To do something to allow this to reproduce after itself. You got to do something with what God gave us. Amen.
Amen.
So God didn't just put Adam in the garden and say, okay, I put you here, now stare at it. He didn't say, okay, I'm going to put you here and I'm going to go and pluck the fruit off the tree for you. You just lay back and I'm going to hand feed you.
No.
No, he gave him some responsibility. He gave him dominion. He gave him authority.
Right.
This is yours. All of this is yours. You can eat freely, as much as you want. You know, I'm kind of ticked off about this. Didn't really think about this until I just made that statement. You can eat freely. I like food. Thanks to Adam, eating freely now has become gluttony, and it's a sin.
Seriously.
I love Chinese buffets.
Oh, wow.
I love Brazilian steakhouses. Oh, my Lord, I love those. If you've never been to one,
oh, Lord Jesus.
I'm pretty sure it's the second paradise. Whatever you want, they bring right to your table.
Yes.
As much as you want. And there's one set price.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay for more. They just keep bringing it until you can't breathe. But that's called gluttony today.
Yeah,
Adam, mess that up for me. Eat freely. It's all yours. As much as you want. As often as you want. But you got to do something about this.
Yeah.
You can't just eat. You got to tend it.
Yep.
And you got to keep it. Now, that word keep means guard. That word keep means make sure that you have a hedge of protection around this place. Why would God tell him this? Now, obviously, we're looking thousands of years into the future. We know why. There's an enemy. God was telling Adam, listen, if you have to guard this, tend this, put a hedge around this, there's an enemy. Adam, somebody's going to come and mess with this. So Adam wasn't blind to the fact that there was an enemy. Because why on earth would God say something? If Adam didn't know or understand this, he would have said, well, what are you talking about? What am I going to protect this from? There's nothing going on. There's nobody to fight. There's protect from what?
Yeah.
So obviously he knew that there was some sort of enemy. But the commandment was to tend and to keep. To tend and to keep. Adam, it's your responsibility. It's all yours. Now, I said it already that God has placed you into this church.
Yes.
This is your garden or one of the gardens that you're planted in. It's your job. It's your responsibility to tend, to guard. Not mine. Now, mine is the church as a whole. It's my responsibility to make sure that this is cultivated. That means I stay in the presence of God. I stay in the Word of God. I study and I fast. I pray and I'm following God's leading. I'm doing everything He's telling me to do to keep this on the course it's supposed to go, to protect the things in here like I'm supposed to do as the under-shepherd to Jesus Christ of this ministry. Amen?
Yes.
But it's not my responsibility to tend your garden. Jesus gives the most powerful parable. In fact, he said it to his disciples, if you do not understand this one, you will not understand any of them. And this is about the seed sown. And he said to his disciples, of course, he's preaching to the multitudes. He explained, he expounded a little deeper to the disciples because they said, all right, we know you're not talking about agriculture. What does this mean? What are you talking about? And he talked about the four ground conditions. And the first one, he said, there's this one ground condition. Now, when he spoke to the multitude, he said, when the seed is sown, the fowls of the air come because the ground is hard. The ground rejected the seed. So the fowls of the air came and plucked up and ate the seed. When he's speaking to his disciples, he said, the sower is the preacher. Yes. The seed is the word. Yes. The ground condition is you. The fowl is Satan. And he said about Satan, immediately, say immediately.
Immediately.
Immediately, when the seed is sown, Satan comes to see if he can snatch up the seed of the word. Well, how on earth would he show up in church? Some of you brought him. You saying I'm possessed? No, but you fellowship with him. Well, how on earth would I fellowship with him? The ground, the condition of your heart has gotten hardened. You've rejected the things of God, maybe intentionally, or what I want to deal with here in just a few moments, because Eve fell into this same problem, deceived. You started to harden up the heart, and Satan's coming around, and of course, he knows where he can snatch the seed. It wasn't that you woke up, you were serving God, on fire for God, filled with the Spirit, filled with the anointing. Every day you're praying, you're fasting, you do anything in your word, you believe the word, you're not changing the word. And Satan says, well, today's the day that I got them. No, he's watching. He's paying attention. He's been having conversations with you. He's been subtly already dealing with you. Same tactics he's always pulled. This is why this is one of the first accounts we have with mankind. So we can look at how Satan deals with things, how he maneuvers, so we know how to deal with him.
Yes.
Amen. So what Jesus explains the parable, and he says he comes immediately to steal the seed. Now, I've said this before, and we're going to go back to Genesis. In fact, turn back to Genesis chapter 2. Satan can't just come in here and steal the word from you. You have to willfully give it to him. And most people at that point, they do willfully just hand it over to him. Because he just can't come in and steal the word. But he's doing everything he can to try to get you to hand it over to him, because he does not fear you. But he is flat out terrified that you might believe this. He is flat out terrified that you not only might believe this, you might start to live this. He is flat out terrified that if you start to live this and believe this, that, oh my God, God is going to prove this in your life.
Yes.
That he is terrified of.
Yes.
Because if he has believers running this earth who trust this, believe this, and walk this, he's losing ground very quickly.
That's right.
Yes. He's losing your family members. He's losing the grip on your health, your mental health, your finances, your kids, your jobs. He's losing a grip on a whole bunch of things. He's losing a grip. He's losing it, but he's terrified that if you ever got this. So he has been working for thousands of years, and he's perfected it. He's perfected the coming in to deceive, which is why God said, it's your responsibility, man. It's your responsibility to tend and to keep this. It's your responsibility. There's an enemy. He's coming. There's an enemy, he's got an objective. It's your responsibility, man, to deal with this. Now, ladies, don't write yourself out of this. I'm saying man on purpose. It's your responsibility to deal with this. Because when he comes, you have to guard. You have to deal with this. But I've already given you everything you need to.
Right.
Amen. So we got Adam back in the garden. God places him, chapter 2. Verses 15, and of course, we just looked 15 through 17. Now, go over to chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. It says, Now the serpent was more subtle, cunning, crafty than any beast of the field. Now pause for a moment. I know it's been preached, and I know people see this, and you can have your opinion on this and thought on this, so we're not going to, you know, get into whole doctrinal debates on this, because it doesn't matter which way this is or what you believe. The fact is, somebody came in to deceive.
Right.
But many people, you know, kind of believe, and they think that the serpent was Satan. I don't. Because we can't find anywhere in the scriptures that we can see that Satan can transform into whatever being he wants. He's a fallen angel, period. Now, the scriptures say that he comes as an angel of light. That doesn't mean he's some beautiful being. That angel of light means illumination,
right.
Revelation, which fits who he really is. It's a counterfeit, because he's a deceiver.
Right.
He comes as, I've got the revelation, but really he's deceiving.
Yeah.
So as we go through the scriptures, we do see that he's referred to as the old serpent. We see that he's referred to as the dragon, but he's not a dragon. He's an angel.
That's true.
So he's not a serpent. Per se. But he had influence on the serpent. Now, that being said, my take, my belief, and I think this is accurate, is Satan conspired with the serpent. What can we do? How can we get them? How can we trip them up? I'll send you. Because today, Satan does the exact same thing. He always has an agent. He always has somebody. Because if he ever showed up in his true form, most believers, and I say most believers would go, no, don't think so. Get out of here.
Right.
For no other fact than just we would know in our spirit, no, I don't think so. So anyways, now the serpent was more subtle, cunning, than any beast of the field. And of course, verse 1 deals with any beast. It's putting him into that category. It didn't say he came as a serpent. Anyways, let's get off of that. Which the Lord had made. So again, we're removing Satan and the serpent. These are two separate individuals. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And of course, we know where the rest of the story goes. I want to deal with this just for a couple of moments. Because God said to Adam, well, pause, let me correct that. God said to man. I want that to sit on you for a moment. God said to man, tend, keep, cultivate, guard, protect. God said to man, if we're to go back to chapter 2 and go back and read this for yourself, if you go back to chapter 2, immediately after God places man in the garden, God commands man what to do, God says it's not good that man should be alone. And what did God do with man? Caused him to go into a deep sleep. He pulled the rib from Adam's side and created woman. Pulled the rib from his side for a couple of reasons. One, that she would come back alongside and be his helpmate. Two, the rib is underneath the arm. Ribs right here, arms right here. When we look at the scriptures, arm is always a sign and a picture of protection and strength. It was Adam's job to protect his wife. The other part, too, is the rib is always protects the heart, close to the heart. That not only would she come alongside, but they would have each other's heart. That means they do this together. When God gave the commandment to man, though Eve had not been separated from man yet, the commandment was given to both. she was still part of. They're one being at this point. God said man, meaning both of you. Now, yes, we understand through the scriptures that God has placed the authority, the headship, you know, for the male to lead his family, but we don't rule and reign over.
Right.
We lead. But at this moment, both. He's addressing both. Both know. It's not like Eve all of a sudden shows up and goes, wow, I have no idea what's going on. Where am I? She was already there. This goes a little bit deeper than most of the way we think and how we think, because we weren't there. How do you take? But God did. So I'm not trying to make new doctrines a go, but I want you to get this in your spirit right now. When God spoke, they both heard. Because they were both there. He didn't create Eve later on. And she's like, well, I never heard this before. No, she was there because God took Eve from his side. So when he said man, he was addressing both of them. Humans, you go and tend, cultivate, protect, and guard my garden. They both heard it. Amen? But then the serpent shows up with a purpose to try to get man to fall, to hand over the authority, to violate what God has said to do, because after all, that's what he did in heaven, and he can't deal with the fact that, you know, we as humans can have a relationship that he will never have. So he starts to show up, and this is how Satan usually comes, because he'll always use some sort of agent. Somebody else always comes. He doesn't show up. He starts to deal with and send somebody, and we can see it in this, because there's a few things that happen in this account that if we really stop and think about it, it kind of almost makes our brain tilt a little bit. Eve starts having a conversation with a serpent. And it didn't seem odd. Think about that. So were all the animals talking back then? I don't know. Some were, apparently. Because this one was. And Eve didn't think it odd. The other part, too, is Adam was there. Because we don't see anywhere when she eats of the apple, or we think it's an apple, or that's what we kind of picture it, when she eats the fruit of the tree. We don't see that she says, or it says that she went and found Adam. Or we don't see that Adam later on caught up with Eve, and Eve said, here, try this. He was there. He was part of this whole conversation. But he negated his responsibility. God said, guard. God said, protect. God said, there's an enemy coming. Something's coming to violate this. Your job, Adam, your job, man, both, but man, protect. Don't let the enemy in. And he stood by and watched. He stood by and listened. He stood by and, okay. There was nothing that was said at the beginning of this conversation that caused either one of them to go, no. So again, we'll find out when we get to heaven. Lord, were they able to talk to animals? I mean, some of you treat your pets like living beings, living human beings. You talk to them like their kids. You dress them like their kids. You feed them like their kids. I mean, they get treated better than your kids do. So don't look at me like that. You guys treat your animals like they're human beings. But however this all started, nothing seemed out of place. See, when Satan comes, he doesn't just come in right off the bat. I'm here to deceive. I've come to mess you up. I've come to take everything that you believe and try to tell you that it's wrong. That's not how he shows up. He never shows up that way. He always shows up subtly. And generally speaking, he has an agent working for him. So nothing seemed out of place. Nothing seemed like, even in the conversation, nothing was like, oh my word. Everything was just subtle. Felt comfortable. It started to deal with some issues that man has had from the very beginning. But then the conversation led to the place of plausibility. Have you ever heard that term? It's plausible. Now, I don't watch much TV, but if I do, it's usually the Car Network or it's the Science Channel. And I love this show called, it's not on anymore, but I love all the reruns, Mythbusters. You ever watch that show? Do you at least know of that show? My wife knows all of it only because she hears it every Sunday after service. It's white noise in the background for me after church. But the whole purpose of the show is they take all these things, these myths, and they try to prove, disprove, or could it be? So at the end of the show, or you know, they always deal with all these things, and usually there's two or three of them. It's either confirmed, denied, or it's plausible. Well, it's a possibility. We really can't disprove it. We really can't prove it. And that's what Satan loves to do.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't come just to disprove. He comes to try to bring the question of, well, it's plausible.
Wow.
Maybe. I'm not really sure now. Yeah, my wife just said it. The word's confusion. You're now confused.
Yep.
Well, I don't know. But wait a minute. God said.
Yes.
God was clear. Amen. But that's the goal. If he can get you or I or any believer to the place where, well, maybe it's plausible. I can see what you're saying. He's got you. Because then you take over. So in this conversation, we had a couple of things that happened, and this is usually his method. He starts with a question. The serpent started with a question. Basically, I think it kind of went this way. Hey, Eve, Adam. But he's speaking specifically to the woman. Can I ask you a question? She must have said yes. That's error number one.
Yes.
It's a question about what?
Right.
See, people don't like me when they want to debate. Well, can I meet with you, Pastor? For what?
For what?
Well, I want to talk to you about some things. Okay, what?
Yeah.
Well, no, you're just supposed to say yes. No, I'm not.
Nope.
What do you want to talk about? Well, I got an issue about this. All right, good. Show up to church.
Yeah.
That's where we'll have our conversation. I'll preach from the word and you can take it to prayer. But I'm not going to sit and debate with you. Because I already know the spirit
right behind
this. Also, I do know the spirit behind when someone has a genuine question,
right.
I'll answer the question.
Oh, yeah.
So don't think I'm just cold and heartless. But good pastors know the spirit before the question is even asked. Doesn't the Bible talk about having the Holy Spirit? That we'd be able to discern the spirits? Amen. So he starts with a question. Eve, can I ask you a question? Do you mind if I ask you a question? Well, sure. Oh. Did God not say that you can't eat any of the fruit? Because that was the question. He got permission to ask the question. And then he asked a question that was completely off. He misquoted God. Basically what he was saying, is that really what God said? Did God really mean that? Because that's where he went with all of this. You think sitting in church right now, or in any of the services we've preached in 42 years here, myself or my father-in-law, or any minister that we've ever had behind the pulpit, any guest minister that we've ever had, you think there aren't people sitting in here where Satan doesn't go and just, is that really what God said? Is that really what God meant? Does the tithe really work? Do I really have to go to church? Do you think God really cares about these things? Or is that just man-made? You guys know I'm not on social sites. I don't do any of that stuff. But every once in a while, my wife will kind of reference something. She'll say, hey, this one was good. And I like this one. You know, for a book that people attack so severely that this is man-made, man-written, why is it that man is against everything that man stands for? Think about that. If this was really written by man, it would endorse every sin that people are celebrating today. Just that statement alone goes, oh yeah, wait a minute. God probably had some influence here. But anyways, he starts the questions, starts the conversation, misquotes God, and then of course, he pulls her in. Well, no, that's not really what he said. He said that we could even eat of every tree. Of every tree. But these trees we can't, or this tree we can't, because he said of good and evil. But then she adds to it. Remember, man had a responsibility here. First of all, he should have never allowed the questioning. Second of all, he should have corrected this statement right away. And we're not even to touch it. That's not what he said. He never said don't touch it. In fact, he said tend them all. He said, but this one you don't eat. But you still got to tend it. So Adam should have said, no, that's not what he said. Correction should have come quickly. But in the modern church, 2026, you don't want to offend them. They're just learning right now. You can't just jump on them and correct them right away on every little thing, because if you do, it could cause them to run off from God. If they don't know, they don't know. Or if it's an error, they could head down the wrong path. Well, what's the big deal? Look at us. We're the big deal. We are paying the price today because of this moment, and Adam didn't correct one question, one statement. To say there's no big deal, look around. Jesus had to come from his throne, die, and pay a price because there was no big deal. If we allow the modern doctrines of today to, just simmer down. You can't be like that. No, we need clarity today. We need to know what the word says today. And when people start misquoting it, we need to adjust it. Not to belittle, but to bring them up. Because Satan doesn't care what you misquote, but he'll use any misquote. So she misquotes God. Adam is standing and says nothing. Just quiet. Why? I think maybe he got bit by the 2026 church. Then she goes on to say, the day we touch it, lest we die. Well, that almost sounds like what God said, but that's not what God said. Because that word, that phrasing, lest we shall, it almost carries a meaning. It's not an absolute. It almost carries a meaning. This is a warning. This could possibly happen. Because as we study other scriptures in the verses, we see the lest. It's not absolute it's going to happen. There's a good chance it could happen. So now Eve is minimizing the fact that God says, there's death in that tree, don't eat it. You're going to have to tend it, keep it, protect it, don't eat it. There's death in that tree. But here she is going, well, there's a possibility if we eat this tree. Good chance, but I'm not sure. There's a good chance we might die. God said, the day you eat thereof, of this tree, you shall surely die. Now we know two things. One, I never even thought about until I heard it preached the other day. Number one, they died spiritually that day. They were separated from God instantly, just as God said. But they did die in that day, naturally. One day is 1,000 years unto God. Adam lived just shy of 1,000 years. I heard a preacher just say that. I'm like, I never thought about that. But he did. If our 1,000 years is only one day to our God, and he said, today you will die, even naturally, he died within that day. Not our timetable, God's. God wasn't joking. He wasn't threatening them. He was trying to protect them. So he gave them a warning. But he also said, Adam, man, this is your job now. So we want to blame man, Adam, but Eve had some responsibility in this too. She was there when God said don't, and they did. But I think Adam is more at fault than Eve was, because even the New Testament says that Eve was deceived. Adam was not. So what does that make Adam? Just stupid? You sat there and you just watched and you did anyways? When you knew not to? Adam never said, maybe God doesn't mean this. No, he just, okay. negated his responsibility. God said, tend, keep, protect, guard, cultivate, and he did not do, seems like any of it, but really he didn't protect the garden. He didn't protect from what the enemy was going to do. Satan does not, his number one tactic on human beings is deception.
Yes.
Oh, come on. If he gives you, you know, throws sickness your way. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe in the healing virtue of Jesus Christ, you believe laying on of hands, you believe that you're healed by his stripes, you believe that healing can come, healing comes.
Right.
It's a right to the believers. We just got to believe for our bodies to get in alignment what Jesus has already paid for.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, we just build our faith until it happens. Amen?
Amen?
And I say this only because people go down this road, but worst case, you don't get healed, you go to heaven. You still win. Because once you go there, everything's healed. So healing's coming one way or another. We believe in healing. So to heal you or to give you sickness, if you believe for healing and you do believe in healing, he knows it's kind of a waste of time. Doesn't mean he won't try it, but it's kind of a waste of time for him. To break the things in your home, if you believe in God's provision, you believe in his protection, you believe in prosperity, it's kind of a waste of time because we're going to testify later on that God, this broke, but God brought, and look at the blessing. We're going to testify, which makes him look like a bigger fool.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
So, and we could go down the list of all those things, but his greatest tactic against mankind, against believers, is deception. If he can get you to start questioning this, turning on this, or even worse, spewing his lies about this, even though you claim Christ, you become an agent of Satan. That's his greatest tactic. That's his greatest tool against mankind. This is the very first thing we see in the garden. And it's one of the very first things that Jesus says, the day that I'm coming back, deception. Now, yes, we see deception in the world. What's worse is when it's in the church. And that's what he was talking about. When deception comes, when my own people are deceived, you better start looking up. That means I'm coming really soon. Amen. So we see this, you know, here it is. She misquotes. And then Satan says, well, the serpent says within himself, I got her. I got him. He's quiet and she's misquoting God. I got him. So then he goes on to say, now he lies. This is a flat out lie. God doesn't want you to eat of this tree because the day that you do, he knows, you'll know as he knows, and you'll become a God like him. It's in the text. This is just how this conversation goes. But it's the same conversation that he has with every believer. That he can get their attention. Every believer that says yes to his, can I ask you a question?
Right.
Can I talk to you about something?
Mm-hmm.
Now listen, don't overread and don't overwrite and think that, well, pastor is saying I can't talk to anybody if they have a question. That's not what we're saying. Because some, I don't know why. We deal with deception, but we also deal with extremes for some reason. In the body of Christ. We just can't seem to stay in the middle of the road for some reason.
Right.
Well, pastor said, that's not what I said. I'm just dealing with how Satan comes to mess up people.
Yes.
What his tactics are, because they have not changed.
Right.
In fact, we see later on that we go down because now Eve has entertained this conversation.
There you go.
She's entertained the conversation. And in verse 6 is where the fall happens. It says, and then when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit of and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. He was there the whole time. And he did eat. He had one final opportunity to do what God said. Protect. As his wife was starting to eat of this tree, he should have stepped up and, "What are you doing? We know not to do this. We were told not to do this." And slapped the thing out of her hand, refused it himself, didn't. But what happened in verse 6? See, when Satan comes, he always appeals to the same three areas. In 1 John, we see this, but this is the first place that we see it. When it says that when she saw that the tree was good for food. Now, she had seen the tree before. Why now?
Right.
Why now was it good for food? Well, that's the lust of the flesh. It's good for food. Well, I can feed on that. I know God said there's death in that, but I can feed on that. What's the big deal? That looks like it'll be actually, that actually looks kind of good. I can't see how that would be harmful.
Whoa.
I can't see how that would affect me. I can't see how that would, because all I can see is my flesh says, man, that looks appealing. That looks appetizing. I think I want that. She'd never seen it like that before. But now all of a sudden she does. Then it says it was pleasant for the eyes. Pleasant for the eyes. Well, I know God said, but I just don't see it that way. I know the preacher said, but I really just don't see it that way. Because what I see, this actually looks good for me because the fruit looks good for my flesh. And I see it differently. Does this sound familiar to anybody?
Yeah.
I just see it differently. See, you see it one way, but I see it a different way. It's not your way, my way, their way, and her way. It's his way. Period. But I just see this different, God. Now, she's not saying directly to God, but this is, we don't see any conversation between her and her husband, but something's got to be going on. She's got to be like looking at him going, he's got to be going back, well, I don't know. What do you think? And then the pride of life. The pride of life. See, if Satan can get you to start to think, well, I think this might actually be kind of good for you. My flesh would enjoy this. I don't see what the big deal. What's the harm? It's just a little. I don't see what the big deal is of going to those places. Oh, because of the spirits that are in those places. Those spirits do get on you. Well, I understand what you're saying, but I just don't see it that way.
Right.
It doesn't affect me that way.
Right.
My conviction isn't like your conviction about this. I see it differently. Okay. If he can start to play in those areas,
yes,
then you'll take over in the next one. The pride of life. Because then she saw that the tree to be desired to make one wise. Here's the famous phrase of the day. Well, you know, I'm only listening to this, even though I know the Bible says, this preacher says, my pastor says, and forever, everybody in the Word of God has said, do not listen to, do not entertain, but I don't see what the big deal is. But really, at the end of the day, I just don't want to be deceived. So I want to see both sides of this. I just want to know how this works. Because I don't want to be deceived. Now, none of us want to be deceived. But we're talking about the spirit that's taken over to do something God said don't do.
Right.
Well, I just don't want to be deceived. I think it's the most famous phrase of the day.
Yep.
Well, I know tithing is in the Bible, but I just don't want to be deceived. Deceived from what? That God ordained it, God established it, God blesses it? Deceived from what? Well, I just don't know if it's for today. Our God's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Deceived from what? Well, I just don't know if it's really working. I think it's man-made. Man didn't come up with this. God did. Well, I just don't want to be deceived. Well, then don't do it. Deceived one.
Yeah.
But if you really didn't want to be deceived, just look around at everybody who's tithing and seeing the promises of God working in their lives. Well, I just don't see it that way. Same issues. He feeds on the same thing. He's got different maneuvers, but they're basically the same. He starts the conversation. It starts right here in church. I already know somebody's in here. Well, I don't think it's that big of a deal, Pastor. Okay. Why don't you think it's a big deal? I'm pausing for a moment. Why don't you think it's a big deal to allow Satan to ask questions, to get you to entertain these questions? I've had these conversations with people over the years, and I say it this way because I have no real answer for it other than I can give you every Bible verse. I just can't explain them in this context. When you've been set free from something, delivered from something, when you know something is wrong and you pull away from that, and you say, I started to have peace again. I started to have joy again. I was less confused again. But then I went back and read that again. Then I went back and listened to that again. Then I went back. That's the part. I got the Bible verses that explain it. I can't wrap my brain around. If you were free from, why would you go back to? What area did he appeal to? Your flesh? Your eyes? Or your pride? And it's amazing, every one of them. Well, I went back because I didn't want to be deceived. Well, look at where you are now. You were once in church, you're no longer in church. You were once a faithful helps minister, you don't serve in God's house anymore. You were delivered from booze and smoking, and now you're drinking and boozing again. Your kids don't know if they're coming or going. You don't know if you're coming or going. Now you're crying out to God, God, come quickly because I can't take it anymore. But you didn't want to be deceived. How? Who? When? Why? I mean, ask all the questions. You're never going to get an answer because they can't even give it to you. Because when that point comes in, they're confused. They can't even tell you why they went back. They can't tell you why they entertained. They can't even tell you why they want to stay there. But they'll tell you, I just don't see it the way you see it. Well, apparently, you're running smack dab into a wall day after day, and you keep doing it head first. Yeah. And you can't see it? Doesn't that giant welt on your forehead say something? Nope. They just keep doing it. Keep going. Adam's job, Eve's job, man's job was to guard, to never allow it to get to this point, to protect, to guard the garden. The enemy of deception from coming in, the enemy of questioning God, questioning his word, questioning his authority. That's what they were supposed to protect against. When God places you in a church, this doesn't mean that you take my word and that's it. You're supposed to take the word that we preach and go study it.
Yes.
Further. Not to prove the pastor wrong.
Right. That's right.
But to study it further, to grow your faith, to say, all right, it's a Bible account. We know that the scriptures don't lie to us, so if it's in here, God said it for a reason. So, all right, these are the verses that he gave. This is what he referenced. Let me go study this. All right, yeah. Deception. Yeah, he came in. Yeah. Okay, he used somebody, something. Huh. Could God be using some, or could Satan be using somebody or something in my life too? The answer is yes. If I'm chasing something that the pastor shows me a Bible verse that says is wrong for my life, and I'm trying to justify it in my life, maybe I should look at, okay, what is this appealing to? Is it appealing to my flesh? Is it appealing to my eyes? Is it appealing to my ego? To my pride? Because what happens is, what happened in this case, the same thing that happened in these other people's lives and will continue to happen is Jesus, until he comes back and deals with all this once and forever, is once Satan can get you to bow to one of these areas, you will take over in the last one, go, well, I don't know who to believe. So I'll figure this out on my own. Well, the serpent said I won't die. God said I will die. Let me find out for myself. Do you think that's not happening today? Church like ours, we believe in everything that the scriptures tell us. Genesis to Revelation. We believe in the tithe. We believe in church attendance. We believe in the fivefold ministry gifts. We believe that all this has its place. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in all of this stuff. You know why? One, we preach it. Two, the word says it. And three, God has proven it for 42 years in this ministry. Why would we chase anything else? Why would we listen to anything else when God continues to prove this right here in the ministry? And then from the ministry into our families. We got no other reason to listen to anybody, let alone entertain it. Well, I got a question about that. Well, I'll answer, but I'm not going to debate with you. Well, you need to. No, I don't. Well, this preacher down the road would listen to me when I had something to complain about. Well, good for him. Go there. I'm not your puke bucket. You want to go puke, go in the bathroom. But not puking all over me, because that's all you want to do.
Right.
See, if we were to, and this is happening, if we were to allow this deception to continue, allow the enemy to speak to us, then where does it end?
Right. That's right.
Where do we draw the line? You know, because if David and Goliath were today,
yeah,
if that were to happen today, in the 2026 church, half of the church, some of you, would be appalled. How dare he, that arrogant little puke? Doesn't he know that Goliath has a right to his opinion too? Why can't we just have a conversation about this and find some common ground? Common ground in what? This uncircumcised Philistine is mocking their God, insulting their God, violating the things of God, and God's people, spineless, are hiding in holes. Sorry, Israel, it took a little kid to come up and say, who is this idiot? Arrogant little puke. How dare he? See, if that happened today, we'd have the church divided. How dare he? All he wants to do is have a conversation. No, he wants you to bow to his dead gods. That's what he wants. Do you think that's not happening today? Absolutely it is. In every realm of our lives. So we come to church to hear the truth. We come to church to get this in our spirits so we can leave here, grow in these things, to deal with these and tend our gardens outside of here. To protect those areas outside of here. It's my responsibility to protect this one. But it's yours as you sit here to protect the garden that God is trying to plant into even right now. The seeds that he's sowing even right now. Oh, and I know. See, this is the other thing I don't understand. My father-in-law, when he was here, he had to deal with some things that I would give anything to go back and just deal with the things he had to deal with.
Yeah, seriously.
He didn't have to deal with social media. He didn't even have to deal with the stream. He didn't have to deal with people who don't like what we preach, yet they stream every service with us. If you don't like what I preach, move on.
Right.
I've been to a couple of restaurants. I've made it clear. I love Chinese food. I love the Brazilian steakhouses. Absolutely love them. You know what I don't care for? Salad places. Tofu. What is it? Seriously. What spawn from hell did that come from? Tofu? I don't care for that stuff. So you know what I don't do? I don't go to places that serve it.
Right.
I don't sit outside the tofu place. It's of the devil. They're trying to deceive you. It's not real. That actually fits. Because, right? They add all their spices and their goofy stuff. The impossible Whopper. It's kind of a tofu type deal. It's deception. And yet people line up every day for it. I don't stand outside of Burger King. Don't do it. They're deceiving you. I just don't buy the Whopper. Well, that Whopper. I like the Whopper. Come on. But I know they stream with us. I do kind of think it's funny. Because the same ones who usually stream with us are the ones saying, well, Pastor Carey never preached like that. Pastor Carey never said anything like that. He never, ever from the pulpit said the things that you say. Really?
Oh. He said to the woman, the devil, how much is this head? God indeed said you shall not eat the tree of God. So far as right. Verse 2, the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. God never said, don't touch it. God never said, I never passed Kirk brought that up on that. God never said, don't touch it. Now let me share something with you, because some of you guys need to hold this now. When God told Adam to tend and keep that garden, now let me share something with you.
Just a little.
If you walk around this church, let's say for instance, if you walk around this church and you've got something that says tongues is not of God, we will take whatever you have and tell you, do not bring that in here anymore, because it is not scriptural. If you came around and you said something about, you know, like a tithing or something like that, you know, it's not of God, whatever, then we will tell you, we will address you, and we will tell you, we will not tolerate somebody or something like that, but to have something twisted, and that's what the devil did. He twisted something, and he says, and now he's starting to pick up on that twist. It's a deception. Adam should have come over at that point and said, okay, devil, you can't come here and deceive. My job is to tend and keep this garden. Now, you will not bring deception in here. We won't have it. Well, I said this, I don't know, it's the first service, second service, sometimes I get, I don't know what I said. But anyway, I said it's going to be to a point. If I said it first service, my second service, I don't know. But I said it's going to be to the point where in James 5:14 it says, is any sick among you? Is anybody sick? Now, watch this now. Because right now, if I said, is anybody sick? There'll probably be a whole bunch of people come forward. And I believe this by the Spirit of God, where this church is going, because I'm tending and keeping this garden by the Spirit of God. I believe it's getting to the point where I'm going to get up in the pulpit and say this. Is anybody sick among you? And we'll have to look around. Is anybody sick? Is anybody at all? No. It's going to get to the same point. Is everybody here sick? Yeah, everybody's sick? Praise God. Everybody healed? Yeah, praise God. But go on and get the ones that aren't. We need to tend and keep to the garden so that that deception doesn't get in. Now, go to verse 4. And it needs to be over to me.
Huh.
Oh, snap.
You know why they say that he didn't preach like that? They weren't here.
That's right.
They weren't faithful to church. They didn't hear the messages that he preached. That message was preached the last year of his ministry. Now, just before that, the tithing reference, this was not the only one, but it was one of the ones. We had a gentleman in our church that, you know, he was kind of some financial deal type guy, whatever, and then he somehow, you know, got permission, and he started to hold a class upstairs about the Dave Ramsey, you know, financial stuff. Not against it. Great program. I don't agree with everything he says, but it won't hurt you. It won't, you know, steer you wrong. But anyways, he was doing that little deal up there, and but he also, in the middle of that, he started adding his stuff to it. He started, you know, this is what I believe. This is what I think. Well, my wife and I, we were actually part of it. Pastor Kurt was part of it at the time, and I remember, and somehow it got back to Pastor Carey. Well, so you know, this is what's going on upstairs. He's not sticking with what you agreed to. He's doing his own thing up there. Now, through that, a meeting happened. See, people only see the preacher behind the pulpit most of the time. A meeting came out of that, and that's just kind of simplifying it down. Ginny was there. It kind of sort of went like this. My office now was Pastor Carey's office. They walked into the office. Pastor sat at his desk. They sat in front of him. And Pastor's like, all right, we agreed on this. You're doing this. What's going on? Let me tell you where you're wrong. I don't see it the way you see it. I'm right, you're wrong. You know how much further that conversation went? He stood up. We're done. You're done. Yes. And he was done. He was done with the meeting, done with the office, and he no longer came to our church. She was there. What's my point? You got to do what God said. Yes. You got to protect the garden. Yes. And to say that this is something new that we're preaching now, that was 18 years ago that he preached that. How much more today do we have to be on guard? We're not going after people. It's not people. It's the issue. It's the enemy. It's recognizing he'll use the same tactics he's always used to try to get you off course. Now, yes, we do live in a different day. Ginny and I, we've had this conversation because I want to make sure I'm on course and staying. But I'm like, I'm preaching the same message he preached. Same doctrines. Those who have been here 42 years, you know that. We haven't changed the message. The emphasis has changed because it's a different day. I'm dealing with things he never thought of that he'd have to deal with. Now, we know the scripture said things were coming, but we didn't think it would happen here in America. So I've got to deal with things a little bit differently. I have to be a little bit more vocal about some things. All the attacks he had to deal with were private. That's why I say I'd go back any day and deal with his issues. His attacks were, they called up his voicemail. They wrote a letter and mailed it. If they attended the church, a couple of these nuts actually slid it under his office door. Yeah, that one didn't go out over well for that person. Today, they've made it all public.
Yeah.
Social sites, they mouth off, they go after. So I'm not going after them. I'm dealing with the issues.
Yes.
I'm bringing adjustment and verses to the issues, not them. Right. No offense to them. I've let them go a long time ago. I love them, pray for them. And some of them, God said, stop praying for them.
Yep.
So I've let it go. I've forgiven them a long time ago. You know why? Because something else my father-in-law used to say about different people. They've already cursed themselves.
That's it.
You don't have to deal with it.
That's right.
They've cursed themselves. They have a harvest that's coming.
Jeez.
How dare he say that? I didn't. God did.
Right.
We just stick with the book.
Amen.
Amen. So my emphasis this morning was not you guys, everybody being deceived, other than the fact is you have to guard the garden. Now, one garden of your life is church. That's one garden. How about your families? How about your marriages? How about your kids? Those are all gardens that God has placed you there to tend, to keep, to cultivate. You're going to let the enemy come in and start to speak to your kids? I'm looking at Angel. I'm not looking at anybody. You parents, you better be paying attention. You think just because you come to church and they go to youth group? You think just because maybe you serve here in the house of God, you're a helps minister, or maybe you're an actual minister? I'm talking to everybody right now. You think just because maybe you're an ordained minister that Satan's not talking to your kids? That Satan's not using agents to come deal with your kids?
Yeah.
Do you honestly think for a second that when you go to the workplace that's in the world, that Satan's not using somebody or something there to just try to... Come on. He hasn't changed. The enemy is still the same. His tactics are still the same. The emphasis of the day is we got to be that much more on guard. Which means we're going to have to part two this one. So you better come back on Tuesday. I'm going to tell you how to guard yourselves. Amen? Because if you don't show up on Tuesday, you won't know how to guard yourself, and you'll be deceived. No. We were dealing with this yesterday in the men's meeting. God has done everything for us. He set everything up for us. Now it's our responsibility to run with the things He's already laid up for us, already set up for us. His anointing is here to help win and conquer all these things. But His anointing has to be picked up by the believer and used. It's no different than having a Bible. I have a Bible. It's pretty. It's beautiful. It's my prized possession. But if you never open it, you never read it, you never apply it, what good is it? It's still the Word of God. It's just not doing you any good. If you have a church that God's placed you in, planted you in, presented to you that this is the place where you're going to find life, and you never show up.
Right.
Or you show up and you're always arguing in your head about what I'm preaching.
Oh.
Or you've got that little mindset, oh, he's preaching at me right now. Well, if I am, receive it so I can stop preaching at you. Oh, prideful one. You think I spent all my time yesterday and last night just thinking about how can I get Angel? I got a message that it's going to just, oh, right between the eyes. Are you kidding me? Haven't you figured it out yet? I'll call him up. What's your problem? Knock it off. Well, that's mean. You don't do that with your kids? Well, some don't. A good manager doesn't do that with those that are underneath his authority. Come on. We do this in every other realm of life, but here now it's a cult. Let me help you, old cultish ones. If the church is a cult, then America itself is the greatest cult on this planet. We have a man who sits in an office, giving orders, giving directives, writing laws. As it trickles down, we have people scattered about who have authority over us, that keep us in line. How dare they? That stinking officer pulled me over for doing 50 and a 20. What's his problem? Doesn't he have better things to do? That's cultish. No, that's stupid. That was for nobody in here. But that was for somebody on the stream. Now, come on. In every other realm of life,
right,
we expect somebody above us in authority to deal with us, to correct us, to adjust us, to say, hey, wait a minute, you got to be on guard for this.
Yes.
Don't raise your hand in here. I'll kind of end with this thought too. Many of us, or I'll just say it that way, many of us have worked outside of churches. We've been authorities in different places of employment, be it the business owner, management, upper management. We've been in seats of authority outside of the church. And we have had people working for us underneath us where we've said from time to time to new employees or to somebody else, hey, listen, you guys are working together. I'd be careful with that.
Right.
I'd watch out for that one. Because where that person's heading is not good. And if you like your job here, just don't go down that path. Well, that's mean. No, that's protective.
Yes.
That person's still there because we were trying to help them get them adjusted. Stop doing what you're doing. Stop acting the way that you're acting because you're a great employee in every other realm, but your mouth, your gossip, your slander, it's got to stop.
Right.
And we warn other people, don't do this. Don't go down that path because it's going to cost you. We've done that in the workplace.
Yes.
Never once have I heard, cult. Cult leader.
Right.
But later on, when things did transpire, there have been a lot of people that have said, you know, thank you for warning me about that because I didn't see it. I didn't realize that's what was going on. Well, we feel bad. We didn't want it to happen, but we didn't want it to affect you. Every other realm, not an issue. But in church, how dare you tell us? Amen. But I didn't tell you today. Pastor Kerry Twing did.
Yeah.
Now, we did put the words on the screen because For those of you who did not sit under him, we did not speed up that recording.
Nope.
That is how he preached. And he moved as fast as he talked. So when I say the closest thing on this planet right now that is to the same style, attitude, action, and speech as our first pastor, I married her.
Yes.
Stand to your feet this morning. Hallelujah. I know this isn't a run around, jump up and down, shout hallelujah type of message, but it's an important message for the day. We got to understand there is an enemy. His tactics have not changed. They're not going to. He's still doing the same thing. So, we got to do what God said to do. Tend our gardens. Guard our gardens. Cultivate our gardens. It's my job to preach the word here. It's your job to receive the word and do something with it. It's my job to preach the word and protect the anointing that's here. It's your job in this garden to receive the word of God, cultivate that word of God, and protect it from the enemy. Now, usually Satan won't just show up, but he'll send other things. Here, I got a book for you to read. I know you go to that tithing church. I just read this book on. I know you go to a church that speaks in tongues. I got a book about. I know you go to church and church attendance is a big thing to you. Well, it's a big thing to God. But we are the church. Yeah, you're right. You're called out from among them. Be ye separated. So why are you gathering with them? Amen.
Amen.
Tactics are still the same.
Right.
But you have to guard, just like I have to guard. Amen. Nobody's exempt from this. But the beautiful thing with our God is we have the anointing. We have the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We have the Word of God. We have good pastors.
Yeah.
We've got good churches. We've got good elders. And I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm not just talking about higher ground ministries. So when people start saying and mouthing, there's no good churches here. Really? You've been to all of them? You've sat in all those churches long enough to know what's really preached? Know the spirit of that church, the pastor and all that? No, you haven't. Common sense would say, no, you haven't. Shut up and go away. Why am I going to listen to you, you non-church goer, you church skipper? It's amazing how the divorcee always wants to give marital advice. Right? The guy who doesn't have 2 cents to his name is going to tell you how to spend your money. The part I don't understand is people listen to those. Don't be that person. Amen. Lift your hands to heaven. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for the great Holy Spirit. Thank you for all the things that you gave us to not only survive this day, but we can thrive in this day. That we're not going to get knocked off course, pulled off course. We're not going to get deceived. We're just going to stick with. You spoke through Paul to Timothy. Stick with the doctrine. Just stick with the doctrine. Because the doctrine you stick with is going to save you and those that hear you. That hasn't changed. Your proven word that's still being proven today. We just need to stick with your word.
Yes.
And it'll never fail us. So, Father, I thank you. You're here. Your spirit's here. Your word's here. Pastor Carrie was here with us today. Pause. I don't believe he was actually with us. I have to be over clear in the day we live in because I can hear that one going. That pastor said his dead father-in-law was at church. Lord, help us. Help me to end this service. But Father, I thank you. We have so many things that are helping us in this very hour that we won't be deceived. We won't be knocked off course. We won't be led astray. But we're just going to stick with you. We're going to stick with your word. We're going to stick with your ways. Father, we thank you for helping us being here today. Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name, though yes, I did address the stream, I wasn't going at anybody. That was not my intent. That's not my heart. This was for us. That recording was for us. That recording was for the members of Higher Ground Ministries, more so, that sat under that great pastor, my father-in-law. That was for us. So, Lord, I thank you that your hand was upon this service. I thank you your hand is upon us as we leave today. We thank you for Psalm 91. We thank you for Psalm 23. And, Lord, we just thank you that our best days are still ahead of us. In the name of Jesus, can everybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a good hand clap. Praise God.
Thanks for joining us at Higher Ground Ministries. We pray today's message encouraged your heart and helped you grow in your walk with the Lord. Want to worship with us in person? Our services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Learn more at hgministries.org and be sure to share this message with someone who needs encouragement today. Until next time, keep your eyes on Jesus and keep climbing higher.